Joining us now is our friend Justin Adams from CBS4 in Denver. Make sure you follow him at Justin Adams TV. And Justin, what I was trying to bring up was the idea that as Carson Wentz is now off the market, there really are only a couple quarterbacks available left in trade. The Broncos, for some outlets, are now considered the favorite to get him. How tough a position does this put George Payton in? Because if the perception is the Broncos can get him and don't get him, that's the first impression Broncos fans get of their new GM.
100%, especially if another team goes and gets him. Can you imagine if Carolina is able to pick him up? And we're hearing, you know, reports out there, right, for two first-round draft picks, a couple of seconds in, you know, a defender, right? Can you imagine what would happen if Carolina got him and they only had to give up maybe two first-round picks and a second or a fourth or something like that, and that was it? Bronco fans would look around at George Payton and say, wait a minute, you have a franchise quarterback that's out there who possibly wants to come here, and you couldn't get a deal done to go and get this franchise quarterback that could help your team immediately and compete with the Kansas City Chiefs? That would be ridiculous. And so, yeah, George Payton, like, it's great to hear that, you know, according to FanDuel and all these other sites, that, you know, you have the best odds at landing Deshaun Watson. Only thing I care about is if he's in an orange and blue uniform. If he's not, then it doesn't matter.
And when you look at that situation right now, as now Carson Wentz is gone, he's moved on to the Colts, where that makes, quite frankly, a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But now that Watson is at some point or another going to be traded, and you're Payton, what is too much to give up in your mind? Let me throw a big one at you. Let's say it cost you two first-round picks, a second-round pick, Bradley Chubb, and Drew Lock. Does that stop you?
Sweet.
That's all I say. You and I are on the same page. I'm like, sounds like a deal.
That's my answer. Wait, let's think about it. So, yeah, of course, Bradley Chubb. Yeah, we know he got to a Pro Bowl. We're still talking about a guy who came off an ACL tear. So it's just the reality of the way that players are looked at, a little bit damaged goods. And he also had seven sacks last year, too. I get it, coming off an ACL tear, but he didn't even lead the team in sacks. That was Malik Reed, an undrafted free agent, right? And so that's what I would look at. I'll say, hey, great, do what you got to do. This is the one thing that I would say that people don't look at is, what did Tampa Bay do way back in 2002 when they got John Gruden? They gave up, Tampa Bay gave up two first-round picks, and they gave up two second-round picks and $8 million, too.
For a coach.
Which is ridiculous for them. For a coach.
Who doesn't throw any passes.
Yep. So my thing is, I'm like, if someone would do that for a coach, and you have a franchise quarterback that's available, you got to do whatever you got to do to get that done. And Broncos got to figure it out, or if they're not going – look, the reality is they won't be able to compete in their own division if you don't have a quarterback. So figure it out.
And that's something that gets discussed, too. The idea that Deshaun Watson might not want to come here because the AFC West is so tough. Well, I'm not really worried about that because I highly doubt, given what I've seen Deshaun Watson, he's not that type of competitor. You're not going to be afraid of Patrick Mahomes. You're certainly not going to be afraid of Justin Herbert. As a matter of fact, if you want to prove you're the big dog, you want to go take these guys on. But the idea that the Broncos could somehow compete, I mean, let's face it, this is a quarterback-driven league. All the rules in the last 15 to 20 years have been driven towards making the quarterback more impactful, not less. And that's why teams are basically so dependent on one guy, and more or less the rest of the team isn't mattering quite so much. Look at what happened in Tampa Bay. You go get a Tom Brady, and everybody else just kind of fills in. Right? You get around it. Tom Brady's there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just join the Buccaneers. Go look at the Buccaneers roster from last year to this year and even try to find the overlap. Guys want to go play with winners. So
100%.
If you're Denver and you are still hunting for that quarterback, you know, what would be your possible excuse? Because you nailed it. Until this team has a borderline Pro Bowl caliber quarterback at minimum, they're not going to compete in the AFC West.
Yeah, I think the only excuse that would make sense for why the Broncos shouldn't go after and get a guy like Deshaun Watson or a franchise quarterback would be that they want Breckenridge to be able to be that ski lift that has all the fans that should have been at Bronco fans. They want them to be at Breckenridge. They want Loveland to be packed. Winter Park. You know, that's the only thing that makes sense, because if you want people to pay attention, then give them something to pay attention to, not a team that's 5-11.
And when you've been that bad, does it hurt to overpay? I mean, I ask this because certainly you do have to build a roster. You do have to build more than just the quarterback. But when you've been that bad, they've missed the playoffs for 5 years and they've had losing seasons for four. As I hate to bring up, 4 years ago, this team was 5-11. They're 5-11 now. So when you're spinning in place, can you really even overpay?
You overpay initially, but you overpay at the right positions, right? So if you overpay at quarterback, it would allow you to underpay at other positions because other people want to come and play with that quarterback, right? Same thing happened with Peyton Manning. Once you get Peyton Manning, then, okay, we're not overpaying for DeMarcus Ware, what he brings in his leadership, and not only on the field, right? But Aqib Talib, yeah, we have money that's allocated there for him, but now, yeah, we're paying him top dollar, but not the most out there, right? TJ Warren. We have a hard-hitting safety that comes now. Well, we're able to get him at a nice price. Why? Because, hey, you want to play with Peyton Manning. Emmanuel Sanders, you want to play with Peyton Manning, right? We're not going to pay you that top dollar immediately. That's what happens. You could overpay at the right positions, which would allow you, when you go and average out everything else for the salary cap, it would allow you to underpay at other positions because they want to win.
And I think that's the big way to put it. When I look at this situation, this is where it gets interesting to me. There are fewer and fewer reasons. As this quarterback carousel starts dumping guys off in certain places, there are fewer and fewer arguments against the Denver Broncos going all in for it. You think after a time, well, there's this, well, there's that. I'm finding all of these ideas easier to dismiss, whether it's, anywhere you hear it on this station, anywhere you read it. Every single time I see, well, here's why you wouldn't, I almost laugh at it. There's no negative to me for going for it. And I think if you're George Payton, here's the thing. Tell me if I'm wrong here, Justin, because if I'm George Payton, and let's say I quote-unquote overpay. Let's say I do 3 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, Drew Lock, Bradley Chubb, and everybody in my line of work freaks out and goes, can you believe they gave that much up for a quarterback? He has 6 years. If Deshaun Watson ends up playing well, everyone's going to forget what you traded for him. So to me, it seems like he's in a better position to take that risk because he has the opportunity to have all those things fade into the memory if Deshaun Watson, quite frankly, doesn't get any better than he was this year.
And let's think about that. If Deshaun Watson doesn't get any better than he did this year, he doesn't get better than, what, the most passing yards in the NFL? You know, one of the top passers in the league and all the touchdowns that he's thrown. Like, of course you go after that. And even if he does take a step back or doesn't get any better from that, the ceiling is so high that he's already reached and eclipsed, you have to go and make that move. Unless you want to go and say you believe in Drew Lock for another year, or I got a better idea, we could go and say, let's go and get after Andy Dalton, because that really gets the fan base going with Andy Dalton as your quarterback, right? Like, let's just call it what it is. If you're going to get people and have people pay attention to this franchise and pay attention to this team again on the field after October, right? Because once you get to October the last couple of years, people have already said, okay, this team's out of the playoff picture. Let's go and do something else. If you want people to care about the Broncos in November and December into January, then you better have a franchise quarterback, or people will be at Winter Park. They'll be at Breckenridge, and they'll be at Loveland. They will not be watching your games.
Do you think the Denver Broncos are, quite frankly, it sounds strange as it sounds, aware that they're kind of in this point? The Broncos, for literally generations, have been able to just open the gates and realize we'll sell it out. But they've also never had 4 consecutive losing seasons as an NFL franchise. We've seen it. The last time there were fans in the stands, and this was prior to this 5-11 season, you were seeing not 800 empty seats. You were seeing 8,000 empty seats. Do you think the Broncos realize that they are really in that position that a lot of other teams are in now? You have to capture the fan base's attention back.
100%. Think about this team, okay? Think about this team post-70s, right? You have what happened in 77, but even with that team, the Broncos made a trade and brought Craig Morton here, right? So Craig Morton helped out the team get to a Super Bowl, right? Then you keep going down the road, and then you get John Elway here, and then you have years and years of excellence which kept, what, five Super Bowl appearances. You won the last two in back-to-back fashion. You go down the line. Jake Plummer helps you out a little bit as well, get you to an AFC championship game. You continue to win ball games. Then you finally hiccup and you get yourself Peyton Manning. Like, this is not what this franchise is used to, is all these losing seasons. And may I remind you one more important thing. There is no other team in the Mountain Time Zone that's playing football as the Broncos are. So it's huge, not only from a Denver standpoint, but also from an NFL standpoint, to make sure that in the Mountain Time Zone, they have a team that's playing well. So the Broncos got to get their act together, and it starts with a quarterback.
Well, one of the things you also talked about earlier today, you put it on Twitter, Justin Adams TV on Twitter. Let's go to a team that is at least trending in the right direction. That's the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic gets named to the All-Star game as a starter, as you correctly pointed out. First Nugget to start an All-Star game since Carmelo Anthony 10 years ago, but also joins Alex English and David Thompson as the only Nuggets players to be selected to three straight NBA All-Star games. Are we, as strange as it sounds, is the Denver fan base undervaluing Nikola Jokic?
Oh, my God. Not only Nikola Jokic. The Denver fan base is valuing Nikola Jokic and Nathan MacKinnon, two of the guys who possibly could be MVPs. We are undervaluing those guys so much. And you could argue, not only are they the best at their position, but they're one of the top players, period. And so when you look at what Jokic is doing, right, the numbers are just skyrocketing. I mean, 27 points a game, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. That's just ridiculous. But the thing about Jokic is he's doing whatever it takes for the team to win. And they're taking a little step back as they're 15 and, you know, 13, lost their last two. But he's doing whatever it takes for this team to win ball games, or to try his best for this team to win ball games. I really think that as a fan base, we're not only missing out on what Jokic is doing as a player, but we miss it out as what he's going to do for a franchise, for this franchise overall. And I hope we don't miss, man, this guy. I hope we don't miss the greatness in front of us.
Yeah, it is impressive because just watching games this year, the stats don't even tell it all. You're seeing a guy that he's gotten in a little bit of shape. Certainly, he's very new to the game. He didn't start at the young age most people do. I'm seeing a guy that now almost night after night, opposing teams have no idea how to handle it. It's getting towards, you're seeing the situation like a LeBron James where teams realize, well, we can't actually stop LeBron. Let's just try to stop everybody else. Jokic is borderline getting that treatment now.
Yeah, he is. But what other teams are doing is, and, you know, just to kind of go a little bit, you know, inside baseball in many respects with basketball references, is what they're doing is they're really blitzing Jokic when they go off with that, his dribble handoff, what he does with Jamal Murray or any other type of point guards or guards in general. And so that's one way that they're really trying to take Jokic out. And this is why the other guys have to step up. The Michael Porter Juniors, Jamichael Greens, even Faku, all those other guys have to step up, because what they're doing is they're trying their hardest to take the ball out of Jokic's hands and force other players on the court to be able to do something on the floor. Here's the thing. If the other players are able to score, the offense is going to be great. Nuggets will be tough to stop. The problem is that more times than not, in certain spurts of the game, especially in the third quarter or last night in the second quarter against Washington, they're able to stop Jokic. They're able to slow down the offense. And then the defense lags as well. So that's a huge issue for this team that needs to gets cleaned up.
He is Justin Adams. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, Justin Adams TV, and at CBS 4 Denver. Justin, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Want to let you get back to that Buffs-Oregon basketball game that I know you're paying attention to tonight.
Oh, man, I'm, like, holding on this game as well. Buffs up by three. I need them to get this dub, okay? Like,
All right.
Get it done.
Have a good one. Take care.
All right, see you, Sean.
All right, thanks. Always good to talk to Justin. And he's in the same boat. And it's I love talking to Justin for a couple reasons. We're both Colorado guys. We're both from here, born and raised. You know, went to CU Boulder and grew up as Broncos fans. And so when you look at the way we're approaching this potential trade of someone like Deshaun Watson and how critically important it is for the Broncos to find a way to close this deal, it's fascinating to me for the Broncos, because I'm not entirely sure if they understand that they're in the situation they're in. For the last few years, they've always seemed surprised that their team isn't as good as they thought it was going to be. And when you repeat it over and over again, I do wonder if they're being realistic internally. You need a reset. I talked about it last night. I have the feeling that George Payton is looking to reboot this Broncos franchise, okay? Pull the cartridge out, blow on it, stick it back in at the reset button. That's what he's looking to do in 2022. He may not have the luxury of that time, because the one thing you can do to fix that and make it go faster is to obtain Deshaun Watson. And if it costs you too much, c'est la vie. Because if you've seen what Deshaun Watson can do and you can attract players to it, there is an opportunity to fix this Broncos team very quickly, even if they don't have the first round picks they've given up. And waiting on it and having another 6-10, 7-9 year, that just drags this out further and further. And then what are you going to do? You're going to pick about 13, 14 and get your franchise quarterback there? You're going to go try to sign one for $35 million a year? This is the move. See if the Broncos have the courage to do it. The Colorado Rockies didn't have the courage to keep their Hall of Famer. What if they had? Pitchers and catchers reported today in Arizona. I want to look at what might have been for the Colorado Rockies. Buckle up next.